Welcome to the Mint Podcast, where we dive deep into God's Word and discuss practical ways to live it out. This season, we're doing real talk about how we can contend for breakthrough in the most difficult and painful parts of our story. I can't wait to see what God, the commander of heaven's armies, is going to do as we press into him. If you want more of what you hear on the show, there are additional free resources, merchandise, and donation opportunities available at amintageisler.com. We're a listener-funded podcast, and we appreciate your support so much. Let's go run the race. Welcome to the show. I'm so glad you're here as we dive deep into God's Word together and discuss practical ways to live it out. We're currently in a series called Here I Am, and we are looking at stories in the Bible where people made themselves fully available to God no matter what he had in store for them. It's the Hebrew word hineni, and it's a powerful declaration of trust in the Father before we know what he wants us to do. So we have studied Abraham's hineni as he was asked to put his precious son Isaac on the altar. We have studied Moses's hineni as he was asked to go back to the place of his greatest failure and lead the people out of Israel, which he didn't feel equipped to do. And today we get to look at Samuel's hineni when God calls his name. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just are so thankful for who you are and how you love us. Thank you that you call each of us by name, that you have a story to write and good things for each of us to do. God, I pray that during these next few minutes, you would reveal to us what you have for us. Give us eyes that can see you, ears that can hear you, and hearts that are courageous enough to step towards you. Show us things we have not yet seen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let me start with a quick recap, although I would recommend if you haven't listened to the first two episodes in this series, Here I Am, to just push pause and go back because we talk about it, we refer back to it. You can listen to them standalone, but sometimes it helps to build as we go through a series. So the first show was Abraham's Here I Am in Genesis 22, where God asked him to put Isaac on the altar. And this was his precious promise. He'd waited over 100 years for this boy to be born, and then God asked him to give him up. And what is so cool about that story, I think, is Abraham's hineni, here I am, Lord, was the same response he gave before he was asked to put his son on the altar, and after, as his son was on the altar, his response was still, here I am, fully available to whatever you have for me, God. And then we talked about what might God be asking you to put on the altar in your life. For me, it was my dream home. And for you, it might be a relationship or a possession that you have or a trip you're holding on to, a coping mechanism you have, an addiction you have, an expectation of what your life was going to be that you are holding tightly to, even though that is so clearly not going to happen. So my question was, are you willing to give it up if God asks you to? And then is there anything you wouldn't put on the altar if God asked you to? And to press into that. And then in episode 2, we looked at Moses and his hineni when God called to him from the burning bush. Now, Moses, when God asked him to go back to Egypt to free his people, he freaked out a little bit when he heard what God had for him. He might have been dealing with a little bit of imposter syndrome too, right? Like, who am I? I wasn't actually supposed to be in the palace, and I was because I was a Hebrew, and then I committed murder. Now I've been out here being a shepherd, kind of hiding for 40 years. You want me to go where and do what? Like, he freaked out a little bit, and he had a hesitation in his hineni response. But when push came to shove, he did go and do it. He returned to the place of his greatest fear and failure, and he led the people out of slavery into the desert. And so today we are going to now look at Samuel's use of hineni. Most likely, he was about 12 years old when this story took place. And I just think this is fascinating because it took me a good 35 years to get to a place where my posture before the Lord was hineni. Lord, I am fully available and ready for whatever you want. Your will be done, not mine. But Samuel was 12. And his life was actually special from the very beginning. And we read about that in 1 Samuel 1. It's the story of his mom, Hannah, and her infertility struggle and her promise to God. And it was at a time in Israel's history where the people were not being faithful. They were disobedient to the Lord. So as Hannah's at the temple crying out to God, Eli the priest thinks she's drinking because that's just how low they had fallen in those days. And she was so desperate. She's ugly crying. And she says, Lord, if you'll give me the thing I want the most, then I will give it back to you. And she has her Abraham moment, right? She puts her son, Samuel, who's born a short time later, on the altar, and she brings him back to the church and she drops him off to serve Eli the priest. And so she got her heart's desire, but she gave it back to the Lord. She put it on the altar. And because of it, Samuel's life is marked from the very beginning. He grows up serving the Lord. And he was a faithful man at a time of Israel's history where the people were unfaithful. He was a beacon of light. And so I want to read this story to you. Then we're going to do some context and just pull out the deep meaning. I'm in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. And one night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly, the Lord called out, Samuel! Yes, Samuel replied, what is it? He got up and ran to Eli. Here I am, hineni. Did you call me? I didn't call you, Eli replied. Go back to bed. So he did. And then the Lord called out again, Samuel! And Samuel got up and went to Eli. Hineni, here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, my son, Eli said. Go back to bed. Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he'd never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called him a third time. And once more, Samuel got up and he went to Eli. Hineni, here I am. Did you call me? And then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, go, lie down again. And if someone calls again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed and the Lord came and he called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, your servant is listening. Hineni, right? Then the Lord said to Samuel, I'm about to do a shocking thing in Israel. I'm going to carry out all my threats against Eli and his family from beginning to end. I have warned him that judgment's coming upon his family forever because his sons are blaspheming God and he hasn't even disciplined them. So I vowed the sins of Eli and his sons will never be forgiven by sacrifices or offerings. I'm just going to pause right here and say that is not a message I would want to deliver to my friend. How about you? God's eternal condemnation will come upon you. Have a great day. Samuel stayed in bed until morning. I'm in verse 15, sorry. Then he got up and he opened the doors of the tabernacle as usual. He was afraid to tell Eli what the Lord had said to him, but Eli called out to him, Samuel, my son. Here I am, Samuel replied. Hineni, right, for the hard thing. What did the Lord say to you? Tell me everything. May God strike you and kill you if you hide anything from me. No pressure. So Samuel told Eli everything and he didn't hold anything back. It's the Lord's will, Eli replied. Let him do what he thinks best. And as Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and everything Samuel said proved to be reliable. And Samuel's words went out to all the people of Israel. Wow, what a powerful story of a boy learning to follow the Lord and learning to know him. And I think there's some things about this story that are so worth understanding to give us the depth of what it is. And it says that Samuel, I'm going to go back to the beginning of chapter 3. Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Eli was the priest. And in those days, messages from the Lord were rare. And that is meant to show us kind of the distance between God and his disobedient people. God was not speaking. Why? Because his people weren't listening. And there weren't people righteous. So now all of a sudden, Eli is getting old in age. It says that visions were uncommon and Eli was almost blind, which is actually symbolic. He might actually have been losing his eyesight, but it meant that he kind of was losing his judgment too. He wasn't doing things correctly. And because Samuel is serving the Lord, because his mom was faithful, because now he's being faithful, the Lord's going to speak to him. The Lord's going to start speaking again because he's found somebody who is faithful and humble. Okay? I think this is so interesting. God calls him four times, which just shows us God's patient when we don't recognize his voice right away, right? And Samuel's learning. It says that Samuel in verse 7 did not know the Lord yet because he'd never had a message from the Lord. And so there is this aspect of you can be serving the Lord, but you aren't trained to hear his voice. You're not in a personal relationship with him. You haven't learned to create that space to hear that still small voice of God speaking to you and nudging you to do something. That's where Samuel was, right? He's doing all the right things. He's serving where he's supposed to be serving. He's humble. He's obedient to Eli, but God's like, now I'm going to take our relationship to the next level. You're going to hear from me directly. It's not going to go through Eli the priest, which is also symbolic because up until this point, the Lord had spoken to Eli. So this is a passing of the torch because Eli also realizes, I think, oh, God's now speaking to you. He's not coming to me. He's coming to you. So it's the passing of the torch. And some versions of the Bible, it says when the Lord pronounces judgment against Eli and his people, he says, I'm about to do a shocking thing. And it talks about that I'm going to make, like, this will make your ears tingle. And that was something that God would say when he was about to pronounce really harsh judgment on somebody. And then it also, I think, is so funny in the story that after God says that Eli's going to get punished because he's not disciplining his sons. He's not making them do the right thing. It says Samuel stays in bed until morning, and then he got up and opened the doors. It does not say he slept, however. It says he stayed in bed, and then he got up and did his job. So I'm sure he's laying there like, oh, my word. I have no desire to tell this to Eli. He's not going to receive this well. He's going to get mad at me. Fear. In this moment, Samuel has fear about telling Eli, his boss, I'm sure they were friends, had a relationship, that the Lord has pronounced judgment on him. But Samuel still does it because his fear of God is greater than his fear of Eli. And it gave him the courage he needed to do what God had asked him to do, even though it wasn't going to be fun or well received. And because he's obedient in this moment with his hineni and delivered a message people didn't want to hear, God establishes him as a prophet. And it says that he was a successful prophet because it said everything he said proved to be reliable. And everybody listened to him. His words went out to all of Israel. So what I think is so powerful about Samuel's hineni is that he showed that he feared God more than he feared man, that he sought God's approval more than he sought the approval of man. Because he could have watered it down. He could have shrunk back. He could have gave the Cliff Notes version of what God said. I mean, this was somebody he worked very closely with, but he gave it all. And God used his courage in a very powerful way. So here's some lessons I think that we can take from Samuel is this. Number one, hearing God takes practice. Okay. If you want to hear from the Lord, that's something we all got to learn to do, but God is patient. He will keep speaking to you. Keep asking him to speak. You might have to turn down the noise though. And that's where I talked about in episode one, fasting is such a good thing. If you really want to hear from God, turn off social media, turn off TV, or do a food fast, do something and press into the Lord, ask him to speak, and then do the work of sitting uncomfortably in silence for like 15 or 20 minutes and write down whatever comes to your mind. But you got to practice learning how to listen to God. We get to be kind of front row for Samuel's journey here of like, it took him four times to figure it out, but he got it. And God was patient. And he is so patient with us as we learn to hear his voice. So as I said, ask to hear it. Cut out your noise. Read your Bible to learn the language of God. Have you ever tried to learn a foreign language? You have a book usually where you have words and you memorize them and what they mean. And then you go somewhere and you're like, ah, hola, I hear that word. I know what that word means. Okay, I recognize it, but it's because you have been studying the language. It's like that with the Bible. If you study your Bible, all of a sudden God has a language to speak to you and you'll hear him. Because in a moment when you don't know what to do and you ask, a Bible verse will come to mind or scripture will come to mind and it will remind you to do something or prompt you to do something. Another way to learn to hear God's voice is to seek wise counsel. If you think you hear something, but you're not sure, confirm it by somebody that you know hears from the Lord. and say, do you think God said this? And they can help you because it will always line up with Scripture. And if they're walking in tune with God and with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit will prompt them and guide them into all truth and will be able to confirm or deny what you think you're hearing. Another thing that's so important that is about hearing God is acting on what you hear. When you first think that you're starting to hear from God, it's important that you have the courage, like Samuel, to act on it. See, he could have heard that message and been like, yeah, God, thank you. I'm not going to give that message right now. That's a little hard. I'm going to give him a softer version. Actually, I think you should try another young boy who lives down the street. He might want to give this message. No, thank you. I don't think so. And he could have, but he acted on it. And sometimes we have this, like the Lord will prompt you to go bring your neighbor cookies and just check on them. And you're like, well, why? That's weird. Why did they come to mind? And then you don't do it because you're like, oh, I don't know my neighbor very good and they're busy. And what if they don't like my cookies? And you just feel like, ugh. When I work with high school kids, I always talk to them about, like, you know that when you walk into the lunchroom, you see a kid sitting by themselves and you have that little feeling in your gut, like you're supposed to go over there and sit by them, even though you don't know them and they might not be nice to you, but you can tell they're not having a very good day and they're alone. But you are like, what will people think? What if it's mean to me? It's going to be so awkward. I don't know what to talk about. I'm just going to sit with my friends. And you don't do it. Okay. The Lord's going to take that, like, you just heard my voice and you didn't obey me. Why would I speak to you? Not because he's mean, but like as a parent, I can relate to this. When you continually speak to somebody and they don't listen to you, it's like, why would I keep talking to you? You don't want to. Have you ever talked to somebody and they're on their phone and they're not listening to you? And so after a while, you just give up talking to them because it's like, okay, clearly you're not listening and this is a waste of my breath. That's kind of how I think it probably feels for God. So it's important there's that action piece to listening. If you think you're hearing something, act on it. And then the final thing about listening and hearing God's voice is this: you got to live right. If you want God to speak to you, you got to live right. See, Samuel was one of the only righteous men in all of Israel, and God chose him to speak to him because his actions lined up with the Lord. He was obedient to the Lord. And the reason he quit speaking to Eli is Eli hadn't become disobedient. Eli wasn't disciplining his sons. Eli was allowing them to blaspheme the word, the name of the Lord. I mean, no. But see, Eli had gotten lax. And so it's important that we live the right way if we want to hear from God. So all of those six things are how we can learn to hear. The second thing is we must fear God more than we fear man. We must live for God's approval more than we live for man's approval. Oh, this is so hard. Easy to say, so hard to do, because even I, who talk about the Lord and share Jesus for a living, sometimes get nervous and sweaty when I have to talk to my neighbors about the Lord or talk about the fact that we went to church or what I do for a living. It's like, ooh, how are they going to receive this? I already heard them talk about that they hate church or they think Christians are judgmental. And now you want me to just talk about that's what I do? Like, ooh. But see, that's the fear of man. We're afraid of man, not God there. And God might be asking you to do something or say something that you're afraid to do because of what other people will think about you. And isn't this like the battle we are all facing in this day and age, when the world makes it seem like if you hold the truth, you are old-fashioned, you are unloving, you are intolerant, you don't care about people because you hold to the truth of God's word. And we are all going to be increasingly led into situations where we are going to have to not care what other people think, but stand firm in the truth we were taught and hold on to it no matter what it means for our relationships. Not that we go around using scripture like a sword to hack people to pieces and tell them what awful sinners they are, but that when we are in conversations with people that we love, we would not be afraid to hold to truth, the truth in love. Because you know who was afraid of the people and it affected their actions? The Pharisees. The Pharisees should have been the ones, because they were the religious leaders of the day, they should have been the ones that were the most afraid of God. But they were actually more afraid of the people because they desired the approval of the people. And so I'm going to take you to a story in Mark chapter 11 where this happened. And it says they entered Jerusalem. As Jesus was walking through the temple area, the leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the elders came up to him. And they demanded, "By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you the right to do them?" "Well, I'll tell you what authority I do these things by, if you'll answer one question," Jesus replied. "Did John's authority to baptize come from heaven, or was it human? Answer me." They talked it over among themselves. "Well, if we say it was from heaven, he'll ask why we didn't believe John. But if we dare say it was merely human, what will the people do?" And they were afraid of what the people would do because everyone believed John was a prophet. So they replied, "We don't know." And Jesus responded, "Then I won't tell you by what authority I do these things." See, the Pharisees didn't want to be caught in their hypocrisy, but they were so afraid of the people. They wanted the people's approval, so they wouldn't answer honestly. And Jesus is calling them out on it. He knows it. He knows that. And we don't want to be like the Pharisees. We don't want to be hypocrites where we know truth, but we pretend like we don't know truth because we're afraid of what people are going to say. See, you can serve God and still fear man. And that is what the Bible says in James, is being double-minded. You've got one foot in your faith. You've got one foot in the world. You're living to please God, but you also are afraid of what people think of you. And that is so dangerous. So not that God needs us to run around saying things like, "You're going to go to hell, you're in the wrong," and be judgy and condemny. We've talked about that. We don't need to be that way, but we do need to be courageous enough to speak the truth in love. And when God gives us a moment or an opportunity to share about his love and his truth, for us to take it. So now, God's probably not going to call you to be a prophet and deliver messages of doom and gloom. He's just probably not. But he might ask you to live set apart. He might ask you to stop being afraid to share your faith or your values. He might ask you to be an inviter. He might ask you to train your children in the truth of the word of God in a world that will not accept that or like that very much. And so how do we practically learn to fear God instead of fearing people? How do we learn to seek the approval of God so that we can be like Samuel, even from a young age? That's what's so powerful about his story. His hineni, even the morning after to the priest Eli, his hineni came at a cost, but he was more afraid of God than he was of man. So how do we do that? Number one, always my number one, is to pray and ask for God to send his spirit to empower you to fear the Lord more than you fear the people of this world. That's why he gives us the Holy Spirit. We aren't meant to do life on our own. The power that we need is through the Holy Spirit. Now, I told you at the beginning of this series, I've been working to memorize scripture. And one of the scriptures is Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. And it says this: "I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you learn to trust him. And your roots will grow down deep into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand how long, how wide, how high, and how deep God's love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. Then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." That's why the Holy Spirit comes and he gives us life and power to be strong and to stand. And so ask, "Holy Spirit, come, make me strong today. Let my roots grow down deep. Give me your power that I might stand for truth and not fear man, but instead fear the Lord." Number two, take small steps of obedience. If you are willing to do the little everyday things when God asks you to take a big step of obedience, like he asked Samuel, you'll be willing to do it. So maybe that means inviting a neighbor to church. Maybe that means doing the right thing when nobody else does. Everybody at work goes out for lunch and the lunch goes long, but everybody only clocks an hour and you clock an hour 20. But be willing to do the right thing. Be willing to stand up for truth. When you see an injustice being done, be willing to say, hey, let's all just pause here for a minute. Let's just take a deep breath. I think the goal is for all of us to get a lot. Let's make the goal reconciliation and see what we can do for both sides. Let's be good listeners, but to be willing to step in and to stand up, because the small steps will lead to big steps. See, Samuel spent his days serving God and being obedient in everyday little ways. And you see it in this story. In fact, he gets up the next day after the message and it says what? He opens the doors of the tabernacle. That's just being faithful. If I had gotten a message like that that I had to share with one of my friends, I'd probably be hiding in a closet the next morning, not going to do my job as normal. And so just taking those little steps of obedience is so important. Number three, decide ahead of time. My husband says this to his teams all the time. If you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. If you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. So decide ahead of time that you are going to fear God and not people and then practice it. Now, this might seem funny, but I am not kidding. Practice saying hard things to your mirror. Practice saying it to your BFF. It's wherever there's a safe space, just practice saying into the mirror, yes, I actually, or in your car. Annie was just telling me that. She's sitting right next to me. She's like, practice in your car. That's a great idea. But practice saying, yes, my family, and what did we do today? Oh, we went to church and it was such a great message and it prepared me for the week. Instead of saying, not much, we just chilled, it was a Sunday. Practice saying things like, hey, how are you doing? Oh, I'm sorry to hear that you're having a bad day. Can I pray for you? Even if you don't know them. I have started doing this when the Spirit nudges me when I'm at like Menards or Home Depot or Culver's, because let's be honest, that's where I spend a majority of my time when I'm not doing ministry. If the Lord prompts me, I will pray for people. So I was at Culver's recently and there was a girl working the drive-through window and she had bright red hair and beautiful eyelashes and I could tell she'd been crying. So as she took my card and she gave me my ice water and my French fries, I said to her, you have the most beautiful eyelashes I think I've ever seen. Are they real or are they fake? She's like, no, they're mine. I'm like, wow, those are amazing. And she said, but they don't even look their best today because I've been crying. There's the Holy Spirit prompting, right? And I paused and I said, well, what's wrong? And she starts crying and she's like, oh, I shouldn't talk about it. I don't want to get in trouble, but my home life's really hard and my mom's moving away and I have no idea where I'm going to go and I don't want to live with my dad because it's not safe and I just have no idea what I'm going to do. And she starts crying and she's like, I'm sorry. And I'm like, no, don't be sorry. I'm so sorry for you. And I called her by name and I said, can I pray for you? And she looks at me and she looks inside. She goes, I don't want to get in trouble. And I said, honey, if anybody says anything, I will talk to them. Let me pray for you just real quick. And she looks at the line of cars behind me and I'm like, I'll pray quick. And I prayed for her and she sobbed. But I make sure I go through the drive-through on Saturdays to check on her. And she's making it. But then the same thing happened to me that same week. I'm at Menards and there's this little old lady and she's checking me out and she's looking at her phone and she's like, I'm like, are you okay? She's like, oh, my kid, he's grown up and it's just, ugh. And I said, oh, honey, I have grown up kids. I too have felt that way. I said, what's going on? And she's like, well, she said, I came here from Mexico and I work so long and hard and I live in a little apartment. I send all my money back home and it's all I have. And she said, and I pay for them to live. And my son has gotten into partying and he spends all my money. And he's just texting me now to tell me he needs more money, but he doesn't work. And I'm tired. And I feel overwhelmed. I just said, can I pray for you? And she looks around and she's like, well, I mean, I'm on the clock. I'm like, I'll go quick. It's okay. So I prayed for her. Same thing. She cried. She gave me a hug. And I said, the Lord has good things for you. And I'm going to pray that he gives you the wisdom and discernment to know how to walk this forward. And that's how I left that girl at Culver's too. I just said, I know the Lord has good things for you. And I'm going to be believing for that. And I'm going to be checking on you because I believe God loves you and he cares about you. And I walked away. And both times that those happened, I had my little boys with me. And they've brought that up so many times just because it impacted them. Like, mom, did you know her? I'm like, nope. They're like, why'd you pray for her? I'm like, because God told me to. They're like, oh, like how? We didn't hear anything. And it's like, well, he told me in my gut. I've learned to listen to hear the voice of the Lord. And they're like, wow, that's really cool. So they're learning. But see, I've had to practice and take little steps over time so that when God puts me in a situation that's going to be uncomfortable where I could face rejection, I'm not afraid of that. I'm more afraid of God and not listening to the still prompting, the little small voice telling me to listen and obey. Number four. And you know, here, I'm just going to say this as gently as possible. You actually need to know the truth if you want to be able to live for God and not for man. Because the world is going to paint a very different picture for you about what it looks like to live a life that's pleasing than what the Bible's going to live. Like we have talked about in previous episodes, instead of living for comfort, the Bible says, take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. And so we have to spend time in God's word so that we know it, so that we can speak it, and so that we understand the fullness. The more you read the Bible and see the difference between the people who obey God and fear God and the people who don't obey God or fear God, the more you read that, the more it will empower you and strengthen you in your own situations. And you'll actually know right from wrong so that you'll know what to say that is pleasing to God and not just pleasing to man. Friends, I just think that as we continue looking at this Hineni, saying, here I am to God, I want you to just pause and think about what might be hindering your Hineni. What might be stopping you from saying to the Lord, here I am? Is it your love of something that you don't want to release? What if Abraham hadn't put Isaac on the altar? Is it your fear of the past, not wanting to go back to your place of deepest pain? Or is it a fear of inadequacy for what God has called you to do, just like Moses had? Is it that you have the fear of man instead of the fear of God? Is that hindering your Hineni? Are you more worried about what people think of you than what God is asking of you? Friends, I believe that if we can answer these questions honestly and press in and start to work through these things, that we can stand before God open-handed Hineni, that we are going to start to experience the breakthrough and the blessing and the fullness of life and power that comes from living with God in you, with the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's pray and surrender it to him. And then next time, we are going to dive into the fourth time we see this powerful word Hineni in scripture in Isaiah. And I have a special guest too that's going to make it even more fun. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for who you are. You are worthy of our Hineni. So Lord, we come before you this morning and we bravely say, here we are. Use us, Lord. Build in us the desire to please you more than we try to please those around us. Give us the courage that Samuel had to stand out, to be different, to speak the truth when it's hard, to have the courage to walk out what you ask us to do, even if it's not going to be popular. Lord, help us to fear you and honor you and revere you and serve you more than we serve anything in this world. But we know we can't do it alone. So will you please send us your spirit to empower us to walk out whatever it is that you have for us to do. Make us like Samuel, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Mint Podcast. More resources are available at amintageisler.com. Let's do this faith journey together.